All right, well, we're going to hopefully have a good time with you tonight. This is, of course, the pastoral staff here, complete with coffee, as we would have it. Thank you, Lisa. And actually, next week, I think Lisa's going to be up here next week, and as the rest of the group will be up here that you saw introduced there. So it'll be a bigger group up here, but right now, just the guys who were involved as heads over respective pastoral ministries here. And so tonight, we're going to just enjoy each other, talk a little bit about, we'll give you some semblance of what we do and how we do it. I personally take Mondays off and sort of to chill, hang out with my wife, and do as little as possible towards ministry as I can, unless something is calling me to do so, which is often the case. But on Tuesdays, we get together. I'll meet with Abe. Abe and I get together early in the morning on Tuesday, and we have, because Abe is our administrative guy. You'll hear from him in just a little bit. And he's a numbers guy, an X's and O's guy. I don't want to take away anything that that he would want to say, but he's the guy who just sort of keeps things going. He runs the numbers and makes the lists. And when he's done with that, he makes more lists. And if there wasn't a list, he'd make up a list just to have a list. And so we work through those things and the things that have to get done. And then we'll have a meeting with all of these guys here. These are the guys who meet together every Tuesday morning. And we will sort of debrief on the weekend that just took place, the one that we're experiencing right now. And decisions which were made, opportunities that afforded themselves, people that we met, and responsibilities that need to be divvied out. We'll pray together. We'll talk about personal things. We'll talk about personal things in one another's lives, and we'll have a devotional time as well. And it can get very aggressive. There's a lot of give and take. This is not going to be natural. What you're seeing is not going to, we just already figured this is just not going to be natural. We're not going to roll the way we do on Tuesday mornings probably, but it's not unusual for us to have fun, laugh a lot, and on occasion even call, you know, one another out. So I did, you know, we want to give you a little bit of a semblance of that. As many of you know, I just got back from a fishing trip with nine other guys here. We had a great time, and I mean, we went up to Canada, and one thing we didn't do, we did not lose weight. I'm really sure about that, because we brought Tom Kimberly and Rick Young, who were over the eating, and we ate a lot. I think we ate like six meals a day. Actually, couple of major ones, and it seemed like we were making. That's actually a meal being made on a wood burning stove. We made all pancakes and things like that on that. We just ate like crazy, and really just even it was in this whole venue where we were eating that there was a lot of discipleship taking place. In fact, Tom and Rick and Dick Ober as well. These guys really led the way in serving the younger guys that were on the trip. It was really a real blessing, and I really want you guys to know how much I appreciated those guys who led in that you know trip that I was just on. I had a great time here today. I would also mention, you know, how many we, you know, what was going on numbers wise, the people we were introducing. We have a little give and take on normally, and I would say to you, Paul, great job this morning. Do you think you did a great job this morning? Mara was up here for the first time doing a guitar thing. She seemed quite talented. You're supposed to have a microphone in your hand and respond, you know, just whatever. Yeah.
No more banjo jokes. No, sorry. I got a couple accordion ones we'll bust out later on, but not yet.
We started our study in Romans. If you were with us this morning, we embarked on a study of Romans, and I'm wondering if you guys have any feedback. Anybody have any feedback on Romans? Anything I screwed up on that you wanted to talk about here? Chuck or... or Brad, or Brad's reaching. Let's see, I got some notes here. That
I got a text message about an hour ago that said, Chuck and Brad give feedback on Romans. So I've been thinking about it.
Let's be subtle about it.
Yeah.
Let's be subtle about it.
No, I'm excited for this. Even what you said about this being the most important letter in the Bible. I thought what you brought out this morning of... what you were trying to accomplish, and you brought out the fact of the gospel not just being preached to unsaved people, but to believers already. And oftentimes I think it's very easy to think, okay, now that I'm a believer, I can kind of move on from the gospel and start learning other things. Whereas that's not the way it works. It's when you go deeper into the gospel, you understand more how lost and how depraved and how you could do nothing and the saving power of Christ in your life. That's when it brings you to that shouting point of, hey, I caught that giant fish. And the more that you understand that, that helps you to understand those other things. So I appreciated that this morning.
Cool.
I work oftentimes with new believers. And in fact, I already got a note on the book of Romans here. Are you ready for this, Pat?
Yeah, throw it on me, Chuck.
Romans is a hard one to follow. Maybe it is because I'm reading on the phone, but it does seem challenging. So that's from a new believer who's trying to follow your teaching, which is good. I know there's another couple that is coming to church. I am not sure where they're at spiritually. They're assigned to read the book of John right now, and I meet with them weekly. And so I'm wondering if we should go to the book of Romans to study with them, but I think it's important. Then there's a Chinese guy that has gotten saved recently that was here this morning as well. And he's tried to read Romans, and I had assigned him to read the Gospels and the book of Acts, which he enjoyed. He likes the story format. When he started in Romans, he couldn't follow it, but now he wants to follow it. So that's feedback from maybe new people that are just being introduced to the Bible. So it's a little bit different for them. It's a real challenge, but I pray it'll be a great help to them.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I mentioned this morning is that, you know, Romans is you know, if you've got John brings out the simplicity of the gospel, Romans brings out the profundity of the gospel, but at the same time, I don't want you to think that it's just going to be pure meat through this whole thing. It will be meat, but we'll try to make it as applicational if I can use the term loosely, enjoyable as we possibly can by bringing personal stories and whatnot to the fore, so to speak. Because one of the things for me that I mentioned it in my message, and I want to challenge all of us. I feel like our church is sort of circling back and reexamining, you know, why, you know, I remember before I became a Christian, I had to ask the question, why do I believe what I believe? And it's important that we understand not just what we believe, but how we came about believing it. And if how you came about believing it doesn't find its way into the scripture, then that's a problem.
Just to say, I came to Christ as a child. I was about 8 years of age, seven or eight, and it was through the preaching of Romans. Hmm. And particularly, I came to my mother. My mother led me to Christ, and she walked me through the Romans Road. Cool. Maybe many of you came to Christ through the Romans Road. And it was an understanding of that realization that came to me as a child that I accepted Christ.
Cool.
My thoughts, again, as we look at it, and I am so thankful for this church in many ways, but I think we all understand that we have a lot of new people that come into our church all the time. And, boy, Romans is not going to be necessarily an easy for them, so as we discuss and befriend and help them understand that, that'll become so important as we go through that book.
Great point. One of the things that we do on Tuesdays as well is after we deal with all the things that we're responsible, everybody sort of reports in, and not necessarily in order. It's a lot of random stuff going on, but we get it done. And then we have a little time where we just simply call it, are you aware of? And we'll talk about, are you aware of? And oftentimes, half of us aren't aware of something that's happened in somebody's life, and that might be very, very personal. It may be a sin issue. It may just be something to rejoice. Somebody had a baby. Somebody's sick. We have a missionary, John Leonard. I would have said that, John Leonard. Any of you following John on Facebook and the Leonard story? He's our missionary in Brazil. An assassination attempt was made on him in 2005. He's been a quadriplegic ever since, still planting a church, but started coughing up blood the other day. Very serious. Went to the hospital. They're going to cauterize that part of the lung. I don't really understand all the ifs, ins and outs, but apparently he's doing better. But keep John in prayer. We would probably talk about the building situation because we got a lot of things rolling. We're meeting with architects right now. I would say to them that to our the East Elementary School, we have 4 or 5 CEFs going. Abe, how many?
Four.
Five. And our East Elementary School is in need of helpers. I guess a couple of you volunteered this morning, so we're in need of that. I would talk about that. And Stacy, what's Stacy's last name? Nicodemus, thank you very much. A woman who's been attending this church for some time now, actually along with her mother, just found out she has cancer and apparently in an advanced state, and it's very, very serious right now. Stacy Nicodemus, please keep her in prayer. I would mention that to these guys. We would pray about those kinds of things, and then we would just enter into their respective ministries. But why don't you just watch this video, and I'll give you a little sample of what's going on, and then you'll hear from these guys individually, okay?
Sandipel Church, this is Lisa Backe.
Don't be doing that stuff.
What are you doing, Chuck?
I'm getting ready to make visits tonight. I'm organizing the stops that I will make tonight.
So it looks like you're using all paper.
Could you point out on my phone?
This job sounds so easy.
Sauce.
Can you read this? This is what we need to say. I think I have it all done. I've added the information about Sunday nights at Sailorville.
Lisa Backe, what are you working on?
I'm tracking a check from MediaCom reimbursement that Doug solicited for us so that Patty knows where it went and why.
That's good.
And then I'm helping Lisa not go crazy. What are you doing, Douglas?
Nothing. Just walking around videotaping people. It's really easy.
It's fun to have a camera in your face.
Got it.
This is what we do?
Yeah.
This is what we do. This is for a background music for Centerville student stories.
So you make all those?
Not all of them, but a lot of them. Backgrounds for that and for some Centerville stories and for videos we put up on YouTube and the website, stuff like that. The promo for the men's retreat we just did. And yeah, lots of fun.
It was good, though. God really has been working already in a lot of ways.
Wow. We talked and prayed last night. My wife and I visited with her yesterday. She spoke to I had...
A lot taller than this one.
I need to fix that.
Do you mind doing that?
Hello, this is Abe.
Yeah.
So, Lisa, come make me more, and then you can just bring
what
me.
A dear. This is my dear secretary and daughter. Right now, as you can see,
this is kind of like reality church. We're going to change the name of Sailorville.
On his forehead anymore.
We're going to do reality church.
We're doing reality church. We're doing it on Sunday nights at Sailorville.
Oh, yeah.
I had to make this recipe up.
Yes.
Boy, you know, the kitchen really is the centerpiece of the afternoon.
What I was going to say to you guys about the boy-daughter
pens are where stuff. At. Where are the pens?
Does that word... Starting to talk about that stuff.
There's pencils.
Because okay, he is technical.
Sailorville Church.
Getting ready for the big day. Getting ready to bang, get polished up.
I think well, not exactly hiding it. It's just like people don't always like you.
Being able to see everyone look at you.
Chilling itch.
Got the iPhone and the iPad.
That's
use
right.
Them both at the same time.
We're just letting it flow right here.
I would beg them, please don't make me sing.
That looks good.
You don't like singing scripture? You don't like singing scripture?
It's terrible.
I dress up like this whenever I am going to do something extraordinary, like marry someone or bury someone. But in this case, I'm preparing for a visitation, and the family's coming out, and so I want to comfort them, and I thought maybe my Cubs baseball shirt I had on earlier wouldn't do the trick.
You gotta try out the new apps that all the kids are using.
Yep. You checked out the top 10 YouTube videos of
Make
the
sure.
week.
Is this your first time driving one of these?
Yeah!
Okay, it won't go through the door without lowering it, so don't crash.
We get back into the swing of things, help us to prepare well, and do it for your glory and honor.
Wait, oh, look, here's Brad.
Oh, hey, how are you? Just helping Jared move some stuff around, getting ready for the big night. We all work as a team. Doesn't matter what ministry it is. I'm not the shine guy, but I love helping out in this children's thing. We're all on the same thing together, so.
We're all in this together.
All of us.
Well, we have another happy customer here at Sailorville.
Now, that would have taken great faith as well. Here's why. Because Paul, although he was accustomed to going in, that's what his normal practice was.
I'd forget in my head if it wasn't screwed on.
Perhaps you're just running around frantically.
Frantically, trying to get my keys. This is what happens when you're not a well-organized man.
What are you working on, Lisa?
Oh my goodness. So we're sitting at a behind the scenes, and then I'm trying to book 4 different flights to 4 different places, and I'm worried about the Togo flights because we got to get them out the door. They're leaving in like 6 weeks, and we got to get our visas out, and then I got to renew Pastor Marilyn's passports, but we only have a couple weeks to do that, so I'm kind of...
Boom shakalaka. Bye-bye. All right. Well, we're going to spend most of the balance of our time to just introduce the rest of the guys here, and they're going to tell you a little bit about what they do on a typical day. You just got a little smatterings going on. I'm going to start with Abe here. Abe is our administrative pastor. He is, or otherwise known as an executive pastor. He's right underneath me. And so he answers to me, but others answer. Everyone else here in one way, shape, or form has to answer to him. And so, Abe, tell us about a typical day for you, what it looks like, and what lights your fire.
A typical day or week, I would say, is a lot of meetings. I feel like I'm in meetings a lot with people, whether it's staff, whether it's pastor, or with Lisa or Doug. And really just kind of, like Pastor said, really trying to keep everything moving. There's just a lot of different pieces and parts to making the whole thing. And you even mentioned that tonight about the body and just how each guy and person on staff is different. And I get to work with every one of them and get to connect with them and make sure they're getting stuff done and we're getting things done, keep an eye on Pastor, making sure he's getting his stuff done, which that takes a lot of my time. But no, it's not. He's gotten a lot better. And so that really does a lot of meetings and even like Monday, Tuesday, really trying to figure out what do we got going, what's coming on Sunday night, what do we got going this week. Does everybody know what's happening? Because we have 13 people on staff as a church, and just making ever sure everybody's on the same page. As far as what excites me is that, I mean, that part of it, when I came on in this position, that was really the thing that drove me, was just there's so many things happening. The gospel's going forth. There's so many different people and gift sets and everything, and it was just kind of everybody was running every which way, and to be able to kind of take all that and make sure everyone's doing what they're supposed to be doing and seeing the staff doing what they're supposed to be doing, that's exciting. I love that. When everybody, you know, we get stuff that somebody looked at something online, and you know, that's a win for Doug. I mean, he gets to be praised in that, because you know, the gospel got to go out, or a Sailorville story got to go out. But then also just you as volunteers. I mean, when people step up and lead, I mean, there's a lot of ministries, there's a lot of people involved, and I'm kind of connected to all of you through all the different ministry leaders, and to see everybody working together for the common goal of the gospel, all yet different gift sets. Everybody's working towards the same goal, and I get to kind of step back and be kind of over all of that. That fires me up. I love that. I love to see everybody doing their thing and getting a win on all levels.
But you also realize that just getting things in order and keeping them going isn't going to feed your soul. What are you doing ministry-wise otherwise? You do some of the things you used to do and maybe even more successfully, I think. Can you tell me what that's all about?
I mean, meeting with a lot of guys. I meet with guys in the morning for coffee, Bible studies, accountability kind of stuff. Also meeting with some college guys that I had as a youth pastor, guys I had in high school that now I get to meet with on a regular basis. Some of them have gone off to college, but that I love that, loving to see them mature. You know, they were punk junior hires or high schoolers, and now they're actually acting like men and following Jesus. I mean, that's great. To be able to still have that relationship with them is that definitely is another thing outside of kind of, I guess, my job. But, yeah, the one-on-one stuff, I really enjoy that.
Okay, cool. I'm actually going to jump over to a part-timer. Now, you sit back. You're really just – you're sitting a little close to the table here, aren't you, Arlen? Before you say anything here, I'd like Gerald Quick, because I know he's here. Would you stand up, Gerald? Stand up where you're at. Gerald Quick is our retired seniors pastor. He has given his life to the ministry, his life to Sailorville Church. Let's give him a round of applause. His lovely wife, Marilyn, next to him. I should have. You stand up too, Marilyn. Stand up. Let's give her a round of applause too. All right. And so when Gerald stepped down, you know, we didn't have anybody else, so we got Arlen. And I'm kidding, of course.
Pull that out, would you?
Arlen, and just so that you know, Judy, where are you? Would you stand up? Let's give a round of applause to his helper and assistant in ministry, Judy Thorson, my personal secretary for 13 years here at Sailorville. And Arlen, tell us a little bit about your ministry and what you're excited about.
Well, that just about did it. Thank you. basically, carrying on what Gerald's vision got started 12 years ago, reaching out to seniors in the community on a monthly basis with monthly trips and activities, hospital calls, overseeing or encouraging numerous Bible studies. Of course, Mary Godwin's group's been going on for a long time.
Amen.
Tuesday morning, we have a group that has gotten up to about 22 at times. Wednesday morning, we have a group that's down at Park Fair that's up to about 6. It's been enjoyable. I'm going to go to my kicker, the thing that really lights my wick in terms of getting excited, and that is seeing and learning from servants who serve. Mm. And many of them have served for a long time. And watching them, learning from them, and seeing the impact that they have on other people.
You know, 1 Timothy 5 says that we, the younger generation, are to honor the elderly generation. You know, treat the women as mothers, or the men as our fathers. How can this younger generation here serve our seniors right now?
First of all, respect them. You had also indicated that you wanted us to talk about the thing that really breaks our heart.
Yeah.
The thing that breaks my heart in the world, not so much here in this church, but in the world, is younger people, and younger people means anyone younger than me, but younger people that discount the experience of anyone a little bit older. Hmm. And that applies to all of us. We all have a little bias, I think, in that respect. We think we went through the generation and we learned it and that's it. Nobody else will get it like us. But this little gig that Judy and I have had has really taught us a lot of things. It taught us from Ellen Ober as she was dying, you know, to trust in the Lord and he'll give her a straight path. From Jan Hines the other day, she taught us to lie down in peace because God will protect her. And from Curly Nagle on the day that we were meeting here at, during her nephew's funeral. She was told that her son had died. And she told Pat and me, God will take care of us. Mm-hmm. And she was consoling us. Mm-hmm. And so those three little lessons have been very powerful to both Judy and me.
Wow. Thanks for serving, Arlen. Take that to heart, younger generation. Respect, love, care, visit, and help our seniors as well. I praise the Lord for you and Judy. Brad, you've been here for 4 years?
Yeah, this is our fifth school year.
Okay, yep. Fifth school year. And just tell us, rough start, huh?
Yeah. It's. I think other people
this
probably
is not
have
a setup
starts.
Here. He has no idea I was going to ask that question. So.
Yeah. Do you want me to expound on that? Or do you just want me to tell
just,
you about...
Just briefly.
Okay.
And then just move on.
Okay. Do you mean a rough start because I came on Sunday after Abe was pastor on Wednesday? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
With that? Okay, yeah. I came on to Sailorville. Abe was the youth pastor on Wednesday, and then I was the youth pastor on Sunday. So Abe, the rock star youth pastor, this new guy that nobody knew, was a rough start for me. But it was a start that God wanted me to have, learned a lot through it. And, you know, I think we're rolling now, and it's been awesome. So my typical day is... I do a lot of teaching, so I study a lot in the mornings and things like that. In the afternoons, getting together with students, getting together with youth leaders, that type of thing. We just got back from our youth leaders retreat where we were gone overnight and doing training for our students in this upcoming year and things like that. Let's see. So a lot of my time is doing studying. And this time of year, it's like calendar stuff and getting our small groups together and things like that. I just took a job. This is, it's a volunteer job. Don't worry.
Okay,
I just
thanks.
Took a job. Just took a job that I'm excited,
it's
which is
nice
funny.
It's nice that you could all learn this at the same time.
At least once a year I have a student ask me, so what do you do for your real job, right? So I guess I could say that I am now a barista at Ankeny High School, which I'm excited about. That's a volunteer job, making coffee at Ankeny High School and Ankeny Centennial in the mornings on Tuesdays and things like that. And that just really changes when you're in the school and you're walking through the hallways and you're seeing youth, not just in the church context, but on their turf. It just totally transforms the view of how you teach, how you relate when you see them away from this context. And that's really what our heartbeat is to get outside of the doors of the church and to be with students where they're at. I love being the youth pastor here. I love teaching our students, love our youth leaders. We could not do it without our volunteer youth staff. I love seeing students that, you know, people often like seniors can look down on young people and say, well, wait till you get older, maybe you'll do something cool for God. But that is so not true. Our students now, you know, they're a part of this church. They love Christ. You know what they do on Sunday nights? They meet here. This is not something where I twisted their arm and said, hey, you guys should start doing this. They meet at 5 o'clock on Sunday nights, and they get together and pray together as students. They read the Bible together. There's no adults in there with them. This year they're going to the nursing home, doing all kinds of different things. So we're all about helping students, equipping them to live on mission right now, not in the, to help them in the future when they go from here. But we really love... We do play dodgeball and things like that. That's part of, you know, youth ministry. But we love seeing students that take their faith seriously. We love seeing students come to know Christ. We saw a few come to know Christ this year, which we rejoice in. That's like that, yeah, we caught a fish thing. You know, we get excited about that. We equally excited to see young men and women that are walking with God through high school and going on from there. Just heard the story of a 13-year-old boy that's getting baptized and shared his story. And so that's the kind of stuff that we love, and I'm excited that I get to do that as a job, teach and to equip and to do it with people I love here at this church. So,
hey, if that microphone's kicking out, let's give Paul this one here. And so, Paul, why don't you start by telling us what's the deal with having three instruments on the platform that you played this morning?
I couldn't bring the other four. The fourth one wasn't restrung yet, so I had that's why I had three. No, I just like having different instruments and different sounds and things. I never want to get into a, a rut of the same thing. And one of the things that I've always thought about music and in the church is it's not original with me, but I think I've shared with some of you before, but to spread the dinner table for everyone. And what that means is grandma might like sweet peas and Junior might like turkey, and they both might not like the other thing, but they want those things on the table for the other person because they love them. And so I want those things on the table for everyone. And so we try to do that with some different instruments and different styles.
But a banjo? Really?
I have lots of relatives in the South, so it's pretty natural.
You've been here for just over a year now. You've completed that. We should give him a round of applause for that, Paul. You seem to be pretty tight with the group that you are responsible over. How many musicians of the whole gamut do we have, and how are you working with?
Boy, I'd say we're probably hovering around 40 right now, that goes everything from violinists to guitarists to drummers to trumpet player now, and lots of different stuff. So enjoy working with all of them, and it's been just an absolute pleasure, and I really mean that. Absolute pleasure working with all of them. They have attached on to this creed that we have put forth out there, and that's undistracting excellence. I mentioned that to him quite a lot, and we want to do things really well, and sometimes we'll hit some clunkers in the morning services, and you'll hear that, but we want to do things really well, but we also don't want to do anything that is going to pull the attention off of God's glory and him getting the glory. And so that's our goal. So I tell him, you know, anything that would distract, whether it's overplaying or playing a wrong note or wearing a, you know, Spice Girls t-shirt or something like that. We don't want that either. But not that any of them have that. But we don't want to distract from the glory of God. So in anything that we do, we want to be pointing to him in music. So,
well, briefly, because our time is almost up, and I want to hear from Pastor Kevin, but what would you ask our people to pray for you on?
Well, I guess my goal in music as I am over it here is that people would come away from worshiping God and singing these words that we sing with correct thoughts about God. I say that a lot. But if you could just pray, for me specifically, just to have discernment of putting good things in the lyrical content here at Sailorville, because I understand and I'm keenly aware that it's a pretty heavy responsibility, that something about music, it takes lyrics and words and it cements them in your heart. And I don't want to stand before God and have to worry about giving an account for putting bad theology in people's hearts because of the music that I was over. So if you can pray for me and us as a team, and also if you could just keep in prayer our singles too. I work with our Sailorville singles as well, and they are challenging me and teaching me a lot as I get to hang out with them. It's a real privilege to do that. So just pray for them as well, that they would grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and that they would honor him with their lives.
Amen. Well, the last one here I want to hear from is Kevin. I guess they pretty much learned what you did on the video. You just looked for paper and pens, it sounds like. So does anybody here not know what Chuck DeClean does? Would you just raise your hand if you don't know what he does? You're done, Chuck. You don't have to talk anymore. You know, he wears what he does on his sleeve in his life. He's the real deal. And we just heard another couple, I think they're here in the group here tonight, that came to Christ, and no small part due to Chuck and the Bible studies, which are being constantly used. How many of you are using Chuck's Bible studies to reach out to other people? All right? And a lot of you are. Praise God. And the only thing I see Chuck do is he sort of wanders around during the day because, you know, he doesn't have a lot of calls to make. So he's changing that. And but he's busy throughout the evenings, every evening, and he's busy in the day. I don't take that away from you because I know you're doing that as well, aren't you? But because of our time is short, I want to give the balance of our time to Kevin. How many of you are wondering how he's doing? Okay, I should see about every hand here. If you're not aware of it, and some of you probably aren't, a few months back, Kevin Thomas, who's been served alongside me longer than any of these guys up here, been fiercely loyal to me, and a dear friend of mine was struck with a massive heart attack a few months ago. And his heart's running good. Praise God for that. Amen to that. But on top of it, he had a stroke, so everybody's always wondering, always praying, always asking, how you doing? So why don't you answer that question, my brother?
Well, I did go to the doctor a couple weeks ago, and the cardiologist who meets with a lot of people, he started with some questions. And he's about my age, a little older than me, and he said, he heard me out. He heard how I was doing and asked some questions, and he said, you realize that you're 99.99% of ahead of most of my patients. Mm. And so that's a real praise, a real
Amen.
Blessing from the Lord, that he would say that. And he said, you got to keep fighting, because there are struggles that I have. It goes up and down. Some days are harder than others. And you know, 99% of the people die from what I have. And, that's a real blessing, that I can stop and say that, praise the Lord for that. God has a purpose for me. And that's what I guess I want to challenge everybody here. As I've been challenged, God has a purpose for me. And he's got me here for a reason.
Amen.
And I'm in a repair mode. There's no question about it. But I'm on the repair.
Yeah,
I'm on the mend.
Amen.
Yeah.
Jeannie, where are you at? Jeannie Thomas, stand up. You guys know Jeannie. Give her a round of applause. She serves with her husband. Rarely a day here at Sailorville that she's not here hanging out with him, meeting with a couple, meeting with a woman perhaps or whatever. And so she's always been his right-hand girl, and even more so now than ever before. We really appreciate you, Jeannie, for what you're doing. What are some of the prayer requests and just some of the things you might share with us as we close our time out here tonight?
Well, it's a great privilege to be on the staff. I've been here at this church since 1986, 87, and Abe has taken over a lot of responsibilities that I have done, but I'm here for the most part Monday through Friday, and praising the Lord for the people that I get to work with. And I'm primarily focused on premarital counseling, marital counseling, individual counseling. I do some calling when I have opportunities to visit the elderly, visit people in the hospitals, whatever. And that's my primary ministry. It's focused on those attentions, and just keep praying for me. Pray that God will use me, and that He'll equip me, and that He'll just bring opportunities along my way.
Yeah, we need to pray to that. Amen. And his memory, names are kind of a struggle to you still and whatnot. I've actually met a few times with Kevin in some critical situation, and I can tell you that he's done a great job. But again, having Jeannie with him, and Jeannie also has almost virtually an identical degree as you from a BA perspective, I know. And so a very competent counselor as well. We're thankful, very, very thankful for that. Next week, we're going to open it up to you. And you don't have to wait until next week. You can send send emails to the Sailorville office, and we'll compound those questions for anyone here. And that would also include guys like Doug Porter and Lisa Peterson and any of the other staff individuals that have. Are they all going to be up here? I can't remember. Who's going to be up here? Just Lisa will be up here with us. Doug will be back there, and if you want to, we got a little something special that we won't tell you about right now that'll pertain to him. But you can ask Lisa questions, because she, that little thing we had. There's a little truth to that. I mean, she is going all the time. But if you have any questions, they can be individual, they can be theological, but we really like them to be ministry oriented if possible. You have questions. What do we do? When do we do it? How do we do it? Why do we do it? If you have those questions, send those in. Or you can wait till next week. We'll have microphones set up as well. And they can be personal, as long as they're, reasonable. And we'll do our best to answer those questions as we conclude our time, wanting you to understand exactly how the ministry rolls from a pastoral perspective. Okay? So with that in mind, let's have a word of prayer, and then you can go get your kiddos, you that are involved in Shine, and thanks so much. Father, we thank you for this time we can be together tonight to just talk a little bit about why we're here at Sunday Nights at Sayreville. We look forward to the testimonies we're going to hear throughout the year, the teaching we're going that will be expounded from this very platform, and even the getting to know you and getting to know us aspect of this week and next. I pray it'll be conducive to bonding and growth and understanding of everyone here, and this would be a very profitable thing, I trust, for all of our people. Bless us as we go forward in this year. Make us profitable for you in every area and every element in the within the body of Christ, both big and small, Lord. Heads and little fingers and hearts and arms and little toes and everything else that goes with the body, eyes and mouths and noses. Use us, Lord, for your glory here at Sayreville Church, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. You're dismissed.